Another beautiful night here in the beautiful city of Philadelphia, or near it at least. Sitting here, contemplating a deep rest for tonight, listening to the sound of the heater running. The temperature has gone down. It was up to the 50s or 60s today. Now it's going down to the 30s this evening. Things are constantly changing here. And my hope is that all of us can change with it, with all of the things going on. We're gonna need to be able to draw on the deep recesses that exist within ourselves if we want to go on and have any type of peace or love. But that is hard to do too, mainly because we've been told that we don't have any resources within ourselves. We've been told we have to go outside of ourselves. Everything that happens to us now is attributed to some type of trauma that we didn't deal with. We've come to believe that we have to sit on a psychologist's couch or go to some counselor in order to deal with the traumas of life, when most of the time we really don't. Because there is a self-healing mechanism that takes place within each and every one of us. That self-healing mechanism is time. Time heals all wounds if we allow it to happen. And if we learn to use the techniques that it takes in order for that to happen, most of the time, the techniques are not too difficult. They're very easy. They're the old religious practices people used to talk about, like deep meditation, prayer, movement, and faith. I think during our lifetimes, faith is the hardest one to have. We've been inundated so much by the scientific community, mostly the material scientists, that we don't even believe our own experiences most of the time. More than 90% of the healing that takes place can take place because of the placebo effect. The placebo effect is when you believe that you're receiving some type of help or medicine that is neutral, but your body, your mind, reshapes itself, adjusts itself, and heals. This effect has been around for a long time. Most of us have not been able to use it because we don't believe these types of things are possible. But just think of the power that we would have if we began to believe these things and to live these truths. We would be able to cure ourselves of many of the illnesses. But we don't do that. We're looking for a person outside of us to lead us through something, or to give us some type of medicine or a needle or a shot in order for us to be able to be healed. Always looking on the outside. Always giving away the little bit of power that we have. Truth is, though, that we don't only have a little bit of power. We have a lot of power. And it's funny that most of the intelligence agencies in the world and the special forces and all of those things are cultivating their, they're learning to use these powers in order to keep going, to do battles, to fight wars and all of that, while at the same time they are denying that they exist. we believe that. And even when we learn that these agencies are using these things and doing these things, we still can't fathom that they're true. And the reason we can't fathom that they're true is because we have been conditioned so that we cannot receive the information. People say it to us. They show us that it's true. But there is a part of the mind that just cannot hear it. There is a part of the mind called the sensor that attaches itself to us when we're about 4 or 5 years old. And the job of the sensor is to keep us in a state of homeostasis, to keep our mind frozen, to freeze us at a place where a certain personality has been created and where we are gaining the tools that we think are necessary in order to live in the environment that we were raised in until 4 years old. From the time that this sensor develops until the end of most of our lives, we are locked into the personality, the ideology, and the belief systems that we picked up at an early age, even before we were able to think clearly. When the sensor hears something new, when it hears a thought or an idea that is going to force it to change itself, what it does is it just shoves that idea down into the shadow, deep into the subconscious. So we can't hear it. Sometimes, before it does that, it can deflect it. It can send it off somewhere else. Make us think of something else at the same time that we're hearing this new idea. Or make us even sneeze or fall asleep. Become dazed. Because the idea of the sensor is to keep us the way we are. We are all trapped by our sensors nowadays, and they have solidified to believe that magic is not possible. Miracles are not possible, and many of us have even been conditioned enough to not think that things like clairvoyance or extrasensory perception or the many other things that our ancestors did regularly are possible. We have basically been dumbed down into beings who are able to just go to work, create material possessions and monetary possessions for those at the top, stagger home when we're done with work, and perhaps sit and watch TV, where we are conditioned more and more by the television set and the false news that we watch. We may go out and get a couple of drinks to deaden our senses, because without that, we would realize that having given away our wonder and our magic and our abilities to expand ourselves farther and farther, we now live lives of quiet desperation. And the lives are only bearable if we fill it from things outside. Big houses, cars, clothing, praise from others. Anything that we can find, anything that we can collect to be a distraction, so that we don't ever have to look into that mirror and listen to the voice that says things are not supposed to be this way. The voice that says there is more to life than this. The voice that spurs us on to try to find more. Many people tell us that we are depressed if we are not satisfied with the same things we have been connected with or enjoyed earlier in our lives. We believe that sometimes. Truth is, though, that the reason that we are dissatisfied is that we're not getting or trying to get what we really want. We're trying to get what that little voice in the back of our heads, what our parents, what the television said, what of all the education and the media told us that we want. All of these things that we want. Because when we have those, we think we'll be happy and free. From what I've heard and from what I've read and from many documentaries and books I've read and testimonies of people with a lot of things, I have heard that it doesn't work that way. If we can't find happiness where we are, we won't find it in a bigger house and in a bigger mess. Now, when I'm saying where we are, I don't mean that if we're in miserable lives and being bitten by ants and we're living in a desert and we're starving, barely able to survive, we need to find happiness. That's almost an impossibility, even though some people have been known to do it. I'm talking about the average person who has food, shelter, and clothing, being able to find happiness and success where they are. That is what I mean. And if we're not able to do that there, we're not going to be able to do it if we have $1 million. There is just a certain economic level that people get to, and if they find that level and they have joy and satisfaction, you see, the other is just extra. We haven't learned to seek out that level and stay at that level, because we have heard that the more we have, the better we are. The more successful we are, the more power over others and ourselves and everything we have. And when we believe those things, you see, there is a shadow belief, an opposite belief. And that belief says that we don't have worth if we don't have control over others. We don't have worth and control over ourselves if we don't have all the material goods. And that belief system seems to be all prevailing now. In a system where the minimum wage is $7.25 an hour, while in most cities in the United States, one would have to be making $22 or $23 an hour in order just to rent an apartment and to live a decent life. And according to many statisticians and economists, if we had a minimum wage that was raised according to the amount of inflation that we've had during all these years, it would be about $24 or $25 an hour. We've basically been stiffed, paid less than what we can actually buy, starting from the late 60s and onward. And that is why people feel that they are living a life of quiet desperation and suffering. It is because we have been thrown into a quagmire that doesn't make sense to all of us. We've been put in a state of struggle and a state of tension, many of us, for all of our lives, and as a result of being in a place of uncertainty, we become afraid, we rationalize, we can have mental breakdowns, physical illnesses, all kinds of things. And all of these things don't come because of us being flawed individuals. It comes from a system that is creating craziness and chaos on purpose in order to disempower us and take away the ability that we have as individuals, as human beings, to change the world and to create a beautiful world for ourselves and our children and our children's children. And even our ancestors. Somehow, this earth has become like a penal colony with unrighteous leaders who use psychological techniques in order to hold us all back from our potentials. The same potentials that people have had for years and years. And if we begin to look at some of the inventions that have been made, we can see where they have been purposely squelched so that we would be held back and so that we would be forced to pay a lot of money and give away our power to attain what should be given freely. During the Industrial Revolution, they said that what would happen would be that the average workday would be cut to 4 hours a day because we were making so much because of using machinery instead of it being done by hand. It is reported that our production has gone up more than 25 times, while our pay has not gone up much at all. We don't need to work 40 hours a week to produce things. And in fact, we also should not have to work 2 or 3 jobs in order to live. This is a problem. The leadership running this world, they have gone mad. Is there any wonder that the thing on a car called a governor is put there in order to limit how fast the engine can run? Well, that is what our governors do to the society. They limit our awareness. They limit our growth. They stomp down on our potential as human beings, not to only be physical beings, no, but mental beings and spiritual beings, to transcend the limitations of the human body and the human mind, and to manifest what would seem like magic to the ignorant. But that which is just normal to those who are permitted to grow without the restraints of a material science attitude. Do you realize that there are and there have been at one time people who were able to talk to plants to find out if they cured certain diseases? one of the founders of Finhorn in Scotland decided to grow a garden with herbs and asked the plants that were there what the best type of things to add to the garden would be. The plants told her. Shamans regularly go and find cures and things like that by asking the plants and talking to the plants. There are medical intuitives. These people can look at you and read you and find out what the problem is with you, what your illness is. There is one called Carolyn Macy who had a 98% rate of success. And she's still around teaching things. But they studied her and found out that she could do this. Can you tell me why they're not teaching our children how to be medical intuitives? They've researched it. It's true. It's happened. Why don't they tell us? Barbara Brennan was a woman who was a scientist, and when she was young, she said she used to see these lights around objects, energy patterns and things, and she was a little child, so as time goes, of course, you're told that you're not supposed to see things like that, and she stopped seeing them. And then, at one time, as an adult, she got into this accident, and the trauma made her ability to see these things happen again. She ended up creating something called Hands of Light, where she could actually see people's auras and energy, and she learned how to manipulate that energy and bring about healing for those people. This is known as energy work, where people actually work with the energy of the body in order to bring about healing. And they can do it early on, because apparently the imbalance of the flow of energy is something that often leads to a disease in the physical body. This can be understood by looking at the whole theory of acupuncture, where there are certain meridians, like rivers, where energy flows through the body and connects all of the organs. And the acupuncturist can find out which ones aren't flowing and which ones are flowing, and can use these needles to increase or decrease the flow of energy to bring about balance, and the whole body heals as a result of it. And of course, this has been proven to work very well now, and it has been adopted by the medical establishment, even though it hasn't to its fullest extent because of the old material science brainwashing again. So people know that it works. People have partially accepted it. But when they think of going to a doctor, they still don't believe that it works. It is the same with things like Reiki or things like energy medicine or all types of things that seem like magic, that are simply a deeper understanding of where the material world and the energetic world meet. But studies on these things are stifled. It's like we're in this strange religious place, And you have to go to the scientist now, like a priest, and show them your data and show them something that is measurable so that they can repeat what you're doing. When in fact there are things in this universe that we don't have the instruments to measure, and things where we don't have the time to measure them because of the amount of money and resources that it takes to do research that would be acceptable to them. So yet again, we find the governor turned on. We can't use these resources. We can't grow in them. We can't become more adept in them. Because the priests slash scientists of the day are the only ones who can say what is real and what is not real. And the major problem with that is that we continue to accept what they are saying instead of having our true, real experiences and knowing how to accept them. I was a Pentecostal minister at one time. Before that, I was a mystic. I was a mystic because I had mystical experiences. I learned Aikido and martial arts, and in Aikido, one was supposed to use the ki, which is the underlying energy in the universe, in order to move things, to defend yourself, to push people down, to throw them down, to make yourself heavier. I didn't believe that at first until I met someone who could actually do it. And when I saw it happen, I understood that it was real. And from that time on, I wanted to find out what else beyond the scientific understanding was real in life. Had I not had various powerful mystical experiences as a Pentecostal, I would not have believed it. And later I had other mystical experiences that went beyond the idea of the Pentecostal. You see, I am looking for truth and experiences. I'm not looking for religions that are just philosophies or ritual with nothing powerful, if nothing magical, if nothing that convinces me that there is something greater than me that is equal. Not even equal, that is, I guess equal, has the equal desire to reach me. The same equality in their desire to reach me as I have to reach them. I'm not interested. And that's what I've found. There is something that is searching for all of us to a great extent. We're not only searching for it. When we open our eyes and our ears, we come in contact with that which is divine. We can come in contact with it as a symbol, as a god or a goddess, as ideas of a great teacher. Many, many different ways. But we experience it. And we know that it is here and right and true because we experience it. Even as we know that gravity exists. If we step off the edge of a roof. But many of us aren't looking for that experience because we have reduced religion to a philosophy as we follow the material scientific view of religion. We don't expect anything else. And when we receive something, some message or some thought or some feeling, or maybe even have a vision when we're meditating or have dreams where people are talking with us, we just let it go. We think of it as a coincidence or some psychological trick that is taking place in our heads, instead of realizing that we have opened ourselves to something greater than ourselves, and that which is greater is entering in and expressing itself using the archetypes or the images that we have within our own heads, or the words that we have within our own heads, because that is the only way that we are able to receive it. I guess I am saying all of this in order to say, look for a miracle. Miracles do happen. And there is a greater power than the government systems, the violence, the manipulators who are in charge of this earth. And those miracles will come through as we learn to wrap ourselves in the love, peace, kindness of the world, and as we realize that we are free. We always have been, and we always will be. So good talking with you. Please visit our website. Learn more about us. Learn more about the beauty and wonder of yourself. Visit our old support and donations page, where you can find out how to get a copy of the new ebook that we have written that discusses who and what we are as human beings and how we can transcend life. It's always good to be with you. Tune in again next week on our radio show. Pass the link around. Connect with us if you'd like. Donate with us if you'd like. And have fun. Namaste, folks.